Guided by his example, we walk the righteous path. In the footsteps of the prophet with faith and steadfast. In the footsteps of the prophet with faith and steadfast.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله My dear viewers of Madani Channel الحمد لله عز وجل Welcome back to another episode of ours in the series In the Footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam. No doubt there are many blessings and virtues in sending salawat upon the greatest of all mankind, the peace of our hearts and our minds, the most generous and kind, the last and final Prophet and Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated that he who recites salat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall bestow 10 blessings upon that person. And if you should make it a regular habit of yours to send salawat upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in abundance. Sallu alal habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillahi azza wa jal. I welcome you back to another episode of In the Footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in this series, we hear about the life, the biography of the greatest of all people in the entire history, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, previously we heard when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, approximately 6 or so years after the first revelation, Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu had accepted Islam. Yes, and he later became the second Khalifa of Islam. He is the second Khalifa of the Muslim Ummah, the great Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. When he came to Islam, people like Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu stated that when Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu he embraced when he accepted Islam, that even Then Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and said that, "Oh Muhammad," and remember when Sayyidina Jibreel says, "Oh Muhammad," it means, "Oh you who is the most praised." When we call out to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we should say, "Ya Rasulullah." But Sayyidina Jibreel says that, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam," says, "Oh Muhammad, the inhabitants of even the heavens are celebrating and rejoicing at Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu's acceptance of Islam. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through him, has strengthened the religion. He has supported those people who were oppressed. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he states that as the conversion of Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, it was a source of strength. His migration was a victory, and his leadership a mercy. Allahu Akbar. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu himself says to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that, you know, is this not the haqq? He says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, yes, let's go show the people. This is not something to be hidden. Allahu Akbar. Let's tell people about our faith. And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, by the way, it stated that the first person to openly declare and to share his being a Muslim was Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was no doubt the first to declare and to tell people about his becoming a Muslim. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he comes, the Muslims, they make two rolls. Yes, and he even takes his sword and he approaches the people. Now, some of the mushrikun, when they see Sayyidina Umar, they get happy and they say, "Oh, you know, what's happened? What's happening here?" And Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he says to them that, "I bring you the good news that there's no God but Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a messenger of Allah." And he says, "If any of you wishes to attack us, to harm us, to move against us, I will use my sword against you." Allahu Akbar. He stood in front of all of them. And then he stands before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to protect the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performs the tawaf around the Ka'bah al-Musharrafah, the circumambulation, and completely unharmed. Allahu Akbar. But then this leads to something else. It said possibly in the seventh year after the first revelation. In the seventh year, and this goes on by 3 years, but this is when the Muslims experience the boycott. Yes, when the Quraysh saw that the strength of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and those who were with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those people who were now flocking towards Islam, so many people were now coming towards Islam and accepting the religion of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they were becoming stronger and stronger, and they saw that, you know, this was the strength of now the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam here, and they also heard about the strength of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the second migration, because the first migration, remember, they had returned, and then again they went for the second migration to Abyssinia. And when they heard of how, you know, the tribes, the various tribes were coming to accept Islam, what did they do? They came together and they decided that now, that's it, we have to put an end to this. We have to now, ma'azallah, hasha, we have to now kill the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. They said, look, this is what he's doing. He's corrupted our women and our youth, ma'azallah. He's done this, he's caused havoc amongst our tribe. Now we have to kill him. This event, the boycott, we really gain a good understanding of the tribal pride that they possessed. And inshallah, we shall hear more of this, because this boycott wasn't only against the Muslims, but it was against the entire tribes. And the tribes involved themselves within this boycott, although they didn't have to. But it's due to that pride that they kept this. But then look, what the mushrikun, what they say is, okay, but allow us to kill him. If you are worried about, okay, then you know you need to go to war with us, because we've killed somebody from your tribe, then okay, we will not kill him. But what we'll do is we'll get somebody from outside the Quraysh to come and kill him. And that way it'll relieve us, and even yourselves, that we'll all be free, we'll all be fine. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. And you know, this is what we're going to do. That even if you don't accept it, well, rather than asking you now, what we're going to do is we'll get somebody from outside to come and kill him. And then we will also, we'll just give him double the blood money too. So we've not harmed him, no problem, we'll continue living as normal. When Abu Talib hears of this, then Abu Talib, he gathers the people, the Banu Hashim, and also the Banu Akhihi al-Muttalib, also the Banu al-Muttalib. This is not the Banu Abd al-Muttalib, but the Banu al-Muttalib. So these were two small tribes. One is the Banu Hashim, as well as the al-Muttalib was the son of Abd al-Muttalib. So one of his sons, the uncle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his name was Al-Muttalib, and his house, you can say, his sub-tribe, they also joined Abu Talib. He gathered them all together, and some state that first they went to this valley, the famous valley known as the Valley of Abu Talib. And what happens is when they realize that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is being protected, then they decide to do something else. And what is that that they do? They decide to boycott the entire tribe. Yes, to boycott these two tribes, the Banu Hashim as well as the Banu al-Muttalib. Both these tribes come together to protect Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and both of these tribes are now boycotted by the mushrikun, by the enemies of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam. So now Abu Talib, he is protecting the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and because now he's being protected, they could not attack the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So what do? They now gather together and they come to an agreement, which is what? That now we must boycott these people. Yes. So it wasn't only the Muslims being boycotted. Abu Talib, who was not a Muslim, Abu Talib was also boycotted. Other non-Muslims who were from the tribe of Banu Hashim, others who were from the tribe of Banu al-Muttalib, they were also, even non-Muslims, they were also boycotted. Allahu Akbar. And they wrote up an agreement, they wrote a document to place sanctions against these tribes. And one rule was that we will never marry into them. We will never marry, we will not give our daughters in marriage to their sons, neither will their daughters come and marry our sons. Yes, we will not give them anybody in marriage. We will not buy from them. This is very, very important. We will not buy from them and we will not sell to them, which includes food. That if they wish to eat food, no, they cannot buy it from us. This is the treaty, this is the agreement. The leaders of the other tribes had agreed to this. Yes, nor will we ever accept any sort of peace from them. Allahu Akbar. We will not show them any mercy. Until, this is the condition, until they hand over the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for him ma'adallah to be executed. Allahu Akbar. Otherwise, they will remain boycotted. And nowadays, you could just go from one place to another place. You know, if somebody's not going to sell to you, you could go, there's so many options. This was not the same at that time, because they would have to buy and sell from each other. This is what they had to do. And if nobody was to buy or sell from them, and migration was not easy, it was very, very difficult. And they lived this very, very difficult life. And he said that the one who actually wrote the document was Mansur ibn Ikrimah. That person who wrote this document, his hand was paralyzed. Allahu Akbar. His hand was paralyzed, later it became paralyzed. And then that document was hung within the Ka'batul Musharrafah. It was hung within the Kaaba, and they continued to abide this document, to abide by this document, by its terms. And he said that the Muslims, they lived in a very, very difficult situation. Yes, it was very, very difficult. Imagine Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi family was with him. His wife was with him. Sayyidah Khadija radhiallahu anha. Yes, the elderly were there too. Children were there too. Yes, young children were also present at the time, and they were made to eat leaves, not fruit, not food, but leaves. And this is how the Muslims spent. How long did they spend this time? They spent, the Muslims and some of the non-Muslims, there was one exception. The one exception was the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, Abu Lahab. That person who had been accursed within Al-Quran Al-Kareem. That person about whom an entire surah was revealed against Abu Lahab. He was the only one. He had no sense of self-esteem or anything, that he was able to leave his entire family, his own brother's family, his whole family, he was able to leave them. And he was the only one person who was not part of that boycott. Allahu Akbar. This is accursed, no doubt. He was an accursed person. Allahu Akbar. He was the only exception. But otherwise, even the Muslims and the non-Muslims from the very same tribe, every one of them, they were suffering at the hands of the Quraysh during this time. It said that they remained there for 3 years. Imagine this, with their own very own young children too, eating, having close to nothing to eat. Now there were some noble people, and some of these people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with the religion of Islam. There's a person by the name of Hakim ibn Hizam. There was a person by the name of Hisham ibn Amr al-Amiri. These people felt, you know, they felt that sadness that, you know, there's a Banu Hashim who are here and they are in this situation. You know, they are in this situation and we need to do something about it. So there was this one individual. It said, in fact, that Rasulullah ﷺ, because they were actually attempting to assassinate Rasulullah ﷺ, that what happened was Abu Talib, he would ask Rasulullah ﷺ to lay down in a place to sleep. And there may have been some sort of bedstead which they may have made for him to sleep on that bedstead. And the people would see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam going to sleep and the place where he was going to sleep. And then Abu Talib would even ask one of his sons to then quietly, go and sleep where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was, so that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam could go to another place and sleep. This was also for extra protection for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where he placed the lives of his own family for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in the 10th year after the first revolution, some people tried to nullify this particular treatment. And amongst them, one of the people who had the greatest of efforts in this was Hisham ibn Amr Hisham ibn Amr, what did he do? He and mashallah, you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed him with Islam later. Too late he accepts Islam. But Hisham ibn Amr radhiallahu anhu, at this time he was not a Muslim. What did he do? He would give the Muslims food. There were some people who would give the Muslims food quite often. And later when the Quraysh, they would rebuke them too. And the Quraysh would sometimes go against them too. Although they would do this. But Hisham ibn Amr was one of those. What does he do? He goes to Ibn Abi Umayyah. And Ibn Abi Umayyah, and his mother's name was Atiqa. And Atiqa was the daughter of Sayyidina Abdul Muttalib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, which means Atiqa was the auntie of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he comes to him and he says, how is it that you are eating when your brothers, when your relatives, when your cousins, those from your maternal side, from your mother's side, they have no food to eat? You clothe yourself and they have no clothes. You're marrying whilst they are not able to marry. Ibn Abi Umayyah replies and says, yes, but Hisham, you know, what can I do? I'm just one person. What am I going to do? He said, no, don't worry. Hisham says, no, don't worry. I'm going to be with you. And so, okay then, give us another person. And then they go to Mut'im ibn Adi. And they say, oh, look, Mut'im, look what's happening. How can you allow the Banu Abdul Munaf to do this? Yes? How can you allow this to happen? He says, I'm one person. He said, don't worry, we're with you too. And he said, okay, give us another person. So then they go to Abu al-Bukhtari. Yes? Abu al-Bukhtari ibn Hisham. And they say the same to him. He says, I'm one person. And then they go to Zam'a. And they go to one person, they go to another person, no, they go to another person. These people, who they all come to an agreement, and they make a plan. What they say is that we're going to go to Abu Jahl, we're going to go to all the people, and then we're going to make a plan. That one person is going to stand up and say, no, we cannot take this no more. This is what is happening to our brothers. And then another person will stand up and say, yes, I agree with you. And then another person will stand up and say, I agree too, we cannot have this no more. And guess what, my dear viewers of Madani channel? This is exactly what happens. They go towards the Hijr. This is the sacred area around the Ka'bat al-Musharrafa. And they speak about this in front of Abu Jahl. So one person stands up and says, no, we must stop this. These are our own brothers. Another person stands up and says, I agree with you. And then the third one stands up and says, I agree. And so this makes it seem as if everybody's agreeing. But Abu Jahl is a very, very intelligent person. And he says that this would have been decided the night before. Some of the scholars say, so, such as in Ibn Hisham, he mentions another story, which is that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that what happened was the document which was written and hung within the Ka'bat al-Musharrafa, that this had been eaten or some sort of small insect, yes, which eats wood. Yes, with the exception of the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rest of it has been eaten up. So he tells his uncle Abu Talib, then Rasulullah tells him, and the uncle says, are you sure? Is this a revelation? He says, yes, I'm completely certain. This is what's happened. So then Abu Talib, he goes to the people of Makkah al-Mukarramah, to the other people, the leaders of Makkah al-Mukarramah, people like Abu Jahl, etc. And he said, look, we need to talk. That document which you were talking about is no longer there. But rather, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told me that he received revelation that that copy of the Kaaba, that document in the Kaaba, has now been eaten up by insects except the name of Allah. And what happens? And then they go there and then they discover that it's true, only the name of Allah remains. And Abu Talib has now proven to them that, look, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was telling the truth and he has proved to you that he was correct. That term, those documents, those terms by the documents, we no longer must go by those. I say it has been ended. Allahu Akbar. And this was how the boycott of the Muslims as well, or you can say the boycott of some of the Banu Hashim, or the boycott of the Banu al-Muttalib, this is how it came to an end, with Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam receiving this revelation and sharing this with his uncle. And again, the truth of Islam came and was shown to the non-Muslims, and it was completely, you know, it takes a person, and this is in fact very, very important. There were some people who were sincere. There were some disbelievers who were sincere For example, Ibn Abi Umayyah. For example, Hisham Ibn Amr. These people who were sincere to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the Muslims, although they were non-Muslims at the time, but due to their sincerity, and people like Abu Sufyan too, we shall later hear, inshallah, so due to people like this, what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed them with Islam. And this is a very, very important lesson on sincerity. That the people did not lie, but those people were sincere, and so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought them towards Islam. Whereas people like Abu Jahl, when he saw that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam could not have known they were in the valley, they could not have seen what was in the Ka'batul Masharrafa, they could not have seen what happened to the letter. Nobody was allowed to go and meet them. Yes? But yet, he knew this information. How? Of course, because he is a messenger of Allah. So Abu Jahl had seen this in front of his face, but yet he did not accept. Why? The reason is because Abu Jahl was not sincere. And immediately what did they do? They accused him of witchcraft. They said, this is witchcraft. That's what this is. You know, this is not due to the animosity that they had, the aggression that they had. He said, no, this is all it is. It's nothing more. He's not a prophet. He's nothing more. Allahu Akbar. And if he was Abu Jahl, had many times discovered the truth. Abu Jahl saw the moon split into two before his eyes. Magic cannot be done on the skies. So many of the enemies of Islam, they knew the truth of Islam. But they could not, they were not sincere. They could not bring themselves to accept it. Whereas some, Abu Sufyan, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, you know, those people who are sincere, they later come and accept Islam too. Many views of the channel. That's all for today's episode of In the Footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Please do join us next time to hear more on the life of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to develop and increase our love for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wa ala alihi wasallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. Guided by his example, we walk the righteous path. In the footsteps of the Prophet with faith and steadfast. In the footsteps of the Prophet with faith and steadfast.